First word was focused. We talked the first week about how successful faith is focused. You focus your eyes on Jesus. You fix your eyes on Jesus. You throw off anything that would hinder you, and you focus. If you want to have successful faith, if you want to have Hebrews chapter 11 faith, then you're going to have to get the advice from Hebrews chapter 12 and have a focused faith. The next week, we talked about how real faith acts, that you can't divorce deeds and faith. They go together. Faith and deeds are together. If you have real faith, you'll have real acts. You'll have real deeds. If you're a saved person, you're going to act like a saved person. So real faith has real deeds. That was week two. And then week three, Justin got a chance to preach with you guys last week. And that was that if we have a trusting faith, it will be fearless. And that's God, or Jesus created the church to be fearless. And Justin shared a wonderful message with us last week about that. And that Jesus himself emulated what a fearless faith looks like. And he did in the face of one of the worst tools of murder ever. And it was in the face of the cross and in the face of his suffering. He was fearless. And he was fearless, as Justin said last week, he was fearless for you. He was fearless for me. He was fearless for every one of us. And so he emulated what a fearless faith looks like. And then today, final message in the series, final message in the theme on faith. Our faith is rewarding. Now, right off the bat, I want you guys going to flip your bulletins over. Let's go and take some notes. Because I don't want you to miss something that's very, very important to this morning's message. And that is that there is a difference between the gift of salvation and the reward of our work. Would you guys write that down? We're going to be unpacking that throughout the message today. There is a difference between the gift of salvation and the reward of our work. Salvation is a gift. Therefore, it is not earned. This statement should be a review for most of you. I harp on this. This is something I harp on it because the New Testament harps on it. It's throughout the New Testament. You cannot earn salvation. There's nothing we can do to earn that. There's nothing we can do to earn forgiveness of our sins. It is a gift. It's not earned. There's nothing we can do to earn to the ability to have a relationship with the creator of all of earth, all of the heavens, all of the universe. We can't earn that. That's a gift. We can't earn the assurance of our eternity in heaven with God. It's a gift. It's not earned. We couldn't earn any of that. Even if it was just based on the best minute of the best day of the best week of the best month of our lives, we would still fall short in that 1 minute of being able to earn those things. So God has offered that as a gift. Salvation is a gift to those who accept it. Now, accepting that gift means that you give your life to God. It means that you choose to follow Jesus Christ, doing the things that he did, living life according to his teachings, being driven by the same things that drove him, having his kingdom cause be your passion, not your kingdom cause. In that lifestyle, we live by faith. Doesn't it say somewhere the righteous will live by faith? We live by faith, not by sight. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Those are just a few scriptures. We are to be living by faith. And living by faith, there's a lifestyle that follows that. It's trusting and following Jesus. And many, many times in scripture, we are told that there will be a reward for the things that we do in this lifestyle of living in our faith. Down at the bottom of your bulletin, you have a bunch of teeny little scriptures down there. You might need to get a magnifying glass or something out to look at those. But a number of those are references that we're not going to dig into today. But they're references in the Bible that talk about how we will be rewarded for the things we do. And so there's a difference between the gift of salvation and the reward of our work. Because you don't work to earn salvation. But there's definitely a reward for the work we do. A reward is given as a recognition of service. Therefore, it is earned. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 because Paul paints just a great picture of this understanding of the difference between the gift of salvation and the reward of the work. So if you want to go on and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're just going to camp out there all day long today and all the way up to the picnic. Does that sound all right? We're just going to go to 4 o'clock and then we'll just pack up and go over there. No, my wife's got stuff to prepare. So she's like, I'll be walking out on you. I love you, but I got to make some awesome pie. So awesome pie. She's going to make that, you know, that chocolate and peanut butter stuff that, what? You're not making that? Not the peanut butter and chocolate? Wait, listen. Do you hear that? It's the sound of my heart breaking. It's exactly what it is. I'm telling you, that pie is awesome, but her cupcakes will be great. I stand behind my wife. I support her. She makes amazing cupcakes. God bless the cupcakes that they might stand up underneath my praise and adoration in front of the whole church today. And my wife won't feel the pressure that I just put on her. So if you want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you go in your New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then Acts, then Romans, then 1 Corinthians. If you're using a digital Bible, then you guys can just go on and flip there in your smartphones or your tablets. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he talks about this situation of earning a reward versus the gift of salvation. But prior to this, in the first couple chapters of Corinthians, he talks about problems in the church. You know, like, we wouldn't know anything of these. Like discord. Problems like pride. I'm right, you're wrong. I'm better than you because I'm a Jew. We're God's chosen people. We were here longer. We were here first. It's our faith. You just came in on it. Or the other side saying, I'm better than you because I'm Greek. We're far more cultured and wise than you live in a box, Jews. We're not held by your religious laws and practices. We're free to worship. And so we had this pride and we had divisions. We had things going on where one would say, I follow Paul. Go team Paul. And they wear Paul's jersey, you know, with his last name on the back, which, you know, we don't know Paul's last name. So whatever it is back there. So maybe Harvey, you know. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Because he was old. You know, you're with me. Okay. So, but they would wear his jersey and they would run around. They'd be going, go team Paul. And they'd wear jerseys to support him. And you'd have other guys that they would be like, well, I follow Apollos. And they would have the big foam fingers. You know what I'm talking about? And it would say Apollos is number one. And they, when he'd get up to preach, boy, they'd pull those foam fingers out and they'd just be waving. Apollos is number one. Woo! He's our man. And then they had Cephas. And Cephas, man, when he would get up, his supporters, they would all get a chant into it. It'd be Cephas, Cephas, Cephas. And then there's some other people that followed Jesus. You know, but we can't relate to things like that, can we? No. We don't pick and choose different people whose side we're going to side with. That I'm on team so-and-so, and then the others are on team who's and who. And with pride-driven divisions and discord, we distract ourselves from the focus of Jesus Christ, who we all claim to follow. And Paul continues this thought into chapter 3, verse 3. He says, you're still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For one, when one says, I will follow Paul, or I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? After all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each task. I planted the seed. Now take a notion of this. Each one had their task. Everyone had their job to do. Each one to his task. The Lord assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Paul says. Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So when you look at those three contributions, I planted the seed, Apollos watered the seed, And then God came along and took something that was dead and made it into something living that produced fruit. Then it's kind of obvious who gets the glory in this progress, in the process. He says, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. So clearly God's role in this whole thing, it trumps the work done by either Paul or Apollos. So these arguments, this quarreling, this jealousy, it sets the stage for this agricultural analogy where Paul plants the seed and Apollo waters it and God makes it grow. So with that established, that God's the part that really matters. He's the one that makes life come from something that's dead. With that noted, he still includes that he and Apollos both did the work that they were assigned. They still did their part. They used the gifts that God had given them to take part in God's work. And if they were doing their part in the right way for the right reasons, then they were working together for one purpose, as God had purposed it. And the church grew because of people working in unity. It grew within because the believers were matured. They grew in maturity. And it grew in expansion. It grew in numbers. And so the kingdom gained depth and breadth when people did their job and they worked together. In verse 8, he mentions that these human workers in the kingdom will receive a reward for their labor, for their work. He says the man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose. So they work for one purpose, but notice he goes back to the singular. And each will be rewarded according to his own labor. Very clear. You're going to be rewarded due to your own labor, to what you've done. So don't confuse this with the gift of salvation. Both Paul and Apollos had been given that as a gift. They had the assurance of their salvation. Their actions did not earn them a place in heaven. That wasn't the reward. The reward was something extra, something more that our work for the kingdom earns us. Each will be rewarded according to his own labor. So then he shifts metaphors in verse 9. He says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. So he's there with the agricultural metaphor. And then he shifts. You are God's building to a architectural metaphor. It's really a nice little slick shift there. And not only does the metaphor shift, but the subject shifts as he shifts metaphors. The agricultural example focused on Paul planting and Apollos watering and God making it grow. But the architectural model, this architectural metaphor, the example he uses here, is going to focus more on what was grown, the people who grew, if you were back in the agricultural, but it's the people who are the building. So let's take the scripture personally this morning. Go on and take notes and write, I am God's building. I am God's building. So Paul morphs the roles from the first metaphor to the new metaphor. In the first one, he was the one who planted, and Apollos watered, and God made it grow. So in this metaphor, he says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. So just like he said earlier, I planted the seed agriculturally. Architecturally, he says, I laid a foundation. And the agricultural one, then Apollos watered it, and this one, someone else comes along and builds on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. Take note of that. Because then it's not just about someone else building on it. Each one should be careful how he builds. It's slowly getting more and more personal. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So let's reiterate this in a different way. The gift of salvation is the foundation of my faith laid by Jesus Christ. So that gift, that's the foundation. That's Jesus Christ. No matter who laid that foundation in your life, no matter who introduced you to Christ, who shared Christ with you, or who baptized you, the foundation is still Jesus Christ saving your soul. The foundation is still the gospel message. It's still Jesus dying on the cross for your sins. And by the power of God, 3 days later, being risen from the dead. That's the foundation of our faith. No matter who told you about that or who influenced you of the truth of that, that is the source of your foundation. That's Jesus Christ and his work that is your foundation. But then we build on that foundation, and we must be careful how we build. We must be careful who we allow to come and build, who we allow to come and have influence on our building, who we allow to come in and give us advice on how it should be built or should not be built, because you're responsible for your building, because you are God's building. So the deeds, action, service, and the work I do because of my faith builds on the foundation of the gift. So the deeds, the actions, the service, the work I do, that builds on the foundation, which is the gift, but now we're getting into the work. So the work I do builds on the gift. Are you following me so far? So it's just straight out of 1 Corinthians 3. I'm just kind of unpacking it for you. So what materials am I building with? What materials am I building with? What materials are we using to build on this perfect foundation of Jesus Christ? Before I read any further in 1 Corinthians, I want to remind you of a children's tale, a classic children's tale. Once upon a time, there were three little pigs. The first little pig built his house out of straw. It was easy on the bank account, easy on the wallet, seemed like a wise choice. Dave Ramsey might have been proud. He had some extra money, so he spent it on a huge flat-screen TV, got all the sports channels, Xbox, Wii, PlayStation. He didn't play favorites because he could buy them all. So he's sitting there and he's watching ESPN. Actually, he was DVRing it. I need to be correct on the story. And so he was DVRing the ESPN because he was playing the Xbox. And then comes the wolf knocking. Little pig, let me in. And of course, the little pig said, "See, you guys know this story." And so the wolf huffed and puffed and blew the house over and bacon. The second little pig built his house out of wood, which was more stable than his brother's house. And though he was sad because of the fate of his little brother, he felt secure because he had put a little bit of sweat equity into his house. And so when the big bad wolf came knocking, he said, little pig, let me in. And the second little pig said, and so the wolf huffed and puffed and blew the wood house over and more bacon. The third little pig built his house out of brick. Sure, it cost a little more. It took a lot more effort to go out and lay the brick house. But he worked, and after he was done, he felt good about what he had built. And sure enough, the big bad wolf came by, came knocking on his door, saying, little pig, let me in. And the third little pig said, and so the wolf huffed and he puffed and he blew and he blew and he huffed and he puffed some more and then he blew and he blew and he blew and he passed out. And a couple hours later he came to and he huffed and he puffed and he blew. But the third little pig's house stood. And so we take this moral from the story. That as good as it may sound, you shouldn't try to eat bacon 3 days in a row. So let's return to our text. Verse 12 of chapter 3 says, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is. And we will get to that one. This is the one I missed first service. But I do want to leave this up here because I want you guys to see something here. There's a difference in the materials listed here. I don't know if you picked that up on the first reading. There are six materials. And the first three are gold and silver and precious stones or costly stones in the NIV version. Can you imagine a house built out of gold? Can you imagine your house sitting in your neighborhood built of gold? Everyone would know whose house that was. The sun would rise and it would bring light to the neighborhood. Or a house of silver. Or if you can look at these cinder blocks on the wall, and if you can use your imagination a little bit with me and imagine that every one of those cinder blocks is a different precious stone. Not just made up of stones, but actually a big block cut of diamond and a big block cut of ruby and a big block cut of emerald. And I've got Holly back there working at a jewelry store, and she's thinking, man, that would add up. That would be costly. Amethyst. It'd be gorgeous, wouldn't it? But it would cost. It would cost a lot. Precious stones, silver and gold. See, the latter three are cheap, definitely, in comparison to the first three. You got wood, hay, or straw. Really? Do they belong in the same list? Wood, hay, and straw. And we know from the story about the three pieces of bacon, the three little pigs, how well the wood and the straw fared. So what materials are you building with? What materials are you using as you build on the foundation of Jesus Christ in your life? Are you using quality materials? Things represented by gold and silver and costly stones. Because if you are, you will know that you are, because that takes sacrifice. You don't just build a house out of gold just because you've got some gold laying around. You have to set some things aside. And I'm not talking about money here. I'm talking about your life, your spiritual life. The building, the spiritual building that you're building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. What are the materials you are using to build that building? You'll know if you've used costly materials because it has cost you something. You've had to push some things aside. You've had to sacrifice some things. You've had to lay some things down. You've had to put your kingdom aside to let God's kingdom be glorified. They're rare, buildings made like that. So do your deeds of faith reflect quality? Are the bricks in the building of your life as a Christian made out of gold, silver, or costly stones? What have you sacrificed? How much have you spent? Not on the tithe, not on the clothes you wear to church, but in your heart, emotionally. How much energy have you given? How much time have you given? How much passion? Are you building a quality building on the foundation of your faith? What legacy are you leaving in the wake of your faith? What are you going to leave behind? Is it going to stand? I've got a phone message on my phone, and I shared this first service. See if they're here, if they stuck around for a second one or not. And I was looking around because his sister, Lana, was in the first service. But I have a message on my phone from Gary Lippert. Some of you may know him or known him. He has gone to be with the Lord a number of years ago. But in my first bit of time here, I was a young pup. And he called and left a message on my phone and just let me know that I was doing a great job, that he thought that things were going to work out and things were going well. He said, just hang in there. You know, they're not used to a young guy preaching yet, but you got the goods. You're doing, and I've got that saved. And after he passed away, it was kind of weird when I heard it again, because his legacy stayed because he was building with precious stones. Long after he was gone, I still have this peace that's adding to my building. So what's the legacy you're leaving? Will it stand after you are long gone? Will your contributions to the kingdom on earth be soon forgotten when you've left the earth? Or are they forgotten even sooner? So what materials are you building with? Are you building with quality materials? Or are you building with flammable materials? Wood and hay and straw. Are you cutting costs on the materials you're using? Have the deeds of your life been sold to the lowest bidder? Have you built a straw house on a solid foundation? Think about that. Are you building a straw house on the perfect foundation of Jesus Christ? That won't last. One day, the quality of my work will be revealed with fire. So you guys write that down and we'll go straight to the scripture that's from. One day, the quality of my work will be revealed with fire. As we continue in chapter 3, verse 12 says, if any man builds on this foundation, actually this is a repeat of what I just read. I want it in context though. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. So if what I have built stands, then it will reveal that I used quality materials, and I will be rewarded. Take note of that in that scripture. It talks about the things that we've done, that we will be rewarded if what we have done stands the test of fire. Our buildings that we're building will be tested, revealed through fire is the illustration he gives. The foundation is not what you're rewarded on. The foundation is Jesus Christ, that's your salvation, that's a gift. But the reward comes from what you built on that foundation. The reward and the gift are different. You will be rewarded for what you've done. Now, some will ask, what's the reward? I'm curious of that too. I don't know. You know, some say that it could just be the satisfaction of the building that you've built, of using the precious stones and the gold and the silver in your life and the things, the deeds you've done in your faith, and the satisfaction of living a life that way, so that when you hear my good, well done, my good and faithful servant, you'll know, yeah, I built a building in honor of God. I built a building to glorify God. Some people might think that that's it. My father-in-law, he was a iron worker. And when we ride through Indianapolis, if we're all in the same vehicle together, he can just point to buildings. Built that one. Built that one. Walked on I-beams 15 stories high before there were safety harnesses. And these buildings are still standing in Indianapolis. And he has the reward. Yeah, he got a paycheck. But that paycheck's been spent and it's gone. But the reward of being able to drive through Indianapolis and say, yeah, I built that. I built that. I built that one. So maybe that's the reward. Maybe the reward is going to be like that song, that old song, when you get to heaven and all these people are coming to you and you're realizing you had this effect in all these different people's lives and they're all in heaven because of the work that you did. Maybe that's the reward. When we get to heaven, we'll be able to see the fruit of our labor. We'll be able to see that the quality of our building affected so many that it made an eternal difference between living in hell for the rest of their life or living in heaven for the rest of their life. And you get to see that when you get there and realize all of the people that you influenced because the quality of your work. You know, maybe it's something else. Maybe it's something bonus. I guarantee you, if it's a bonus, it's going to be good. Because if God has given us what he's given us is a gift, the gift of salvation, and then we're going to get something more based on the work we've done, I have no idea how awesome that's going to be. And I don't want to risk, you know, giving God an awful, you know, straw house or house made of wood when I could be building a house out of gold or silver. Because if I get up there and I realize, man, I could have had this reward and I blew it. That's going to feel awful. So what is the reward? I don't know. But Scripture does speak in many different places that God will reward his people for the work they've done on earth. And I know that we're not saved by works. So there's a definite separation between these two things. Between a gift of salvation and a reward based on work. So what quality are the materials you're building with? Will they stand? Because they will be revealed with fire. The quality of your materials will be shown for what they are someday. And they will either stand and be rewarded, or if it is burned up, verse 15, if it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved. And this is where Paul makes a very clear distinction that he's not talking about salvation. He's talking about a reward separate from salvation. He says he himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. So he makes it very clear that he's not talking about the gift of salvation. The gift of salvation is the foundation. And you build the house on this, and then when it's shown for what it is in the end of times, when it is revealed through the fire, if it stands through the fire and it's made of gold or silver or precious stones, then you will be rewarded. And if the fire comes and it burns down because it was made out of flammable materials, cheap materials, wood and straw and hay, and you cut cost in your faith and the things that you did, and you didn't give what you could have into the faith, then that will be burned up. And the illustration here, this architectural illustration, is of a man escaping a house that's on fire. He will be saved, because the foundation's not going to get burned up. Salvation's there to stay. It's a gift. But everything that he did, it's going to count for nothing. And it doesn't mention anything about a reward for that person. So if what I've built falls, then it will reveal that I use cheap materials. The foundation, the gift of salvation, will remain intact, but the building will be burnt up. The actions of your faith will be rewarded if they are worth rewarding. How does your building look today? I hope it's one of gold and of silver and of costly stones. A building that gives glory to God. A building that honors the foundation it sits on, the foundation of Jesus Christ. How are you going to be rewarded for your faith? Because faith is rewarding.